Welcome back to the Parenting on Purpose podcast, where we explore the highs and the lows, the wins and the lessons, because there is always an opportunity to grow and learn from. This is the final episode of the season, and it's such a surreal moment because I remember in December creating my very first podcast episode, and yet here we are at the end of the season in March. The first season's been like a little intro into the world of conscious parenting, and it's been such a great time. However, I am so ready for season two to be more specific, more niche in the problems, and to have clearer solutions for you. But for now, I have dedicated this episode to answering all the questions that you guys have asked me over on Instagram. I put a question box a while ago, and I received so many questions, and I noticed two recurring themes, and that's where I'm going to take this episode to. So the first theme being how to be more patient with children while you are triggered and in a state of rage. The second theme that I noticed is the question around how to raise children in toxic marriages and toxic environments. So that's exactly what we are going to go through in this episode. So let's just get started, shall we? So let's first attack the one on being patient with your children while you're in a state of rage. This is multifaceted, so I'm going to address it in different aspects. The first aspect of this question is recognizing the fact that you cannot regulate your child in a state of dysregulation. What does this mean? You cannot be in a state of rage when expecting your child to calm down. This also means that your expectations are not only unrealistic, but it's nearly impossible. But here's what is possible. There's a trick that can change your entire parenting life, and it's called co-regulation. And this, when implemented, can change your parenting journey completely. And it's derived from the developmental psychology and attachment theory that refers to the interactive process between a parent and a child where the support, guidance, and regulation is modeled and provided by the parent to help the child manage their emotions and in turn their behavior. Through these relationships of co-regulation, children learn to regulate their emotions and better their behavior with the help of their parent. Co-regulation involves the parent providing the secure base from which the child can explore the world and return for comfort and support when needed, unconditionally and free from judgment. And once this skill is mastered, your parenting journey will become much more simpler because the skills that your child is lacking in the moments of rage within themselves will be demonstrated by you, the parent, and time again, this will aid in closing the gap and lead to emotional regulation. The second aspect I want to break down is accepting that our emotions are our responsibility. So many times parents come in and say, my child just makes me so angry, and they just know and they push my buttons on purpose. And I always have to interrupt them and say, hey, your emotions are your responsibility. And also our children's ability and skill set that they need to develop to regulate their emotions is also the responsibility of us. And the best way to go about this is, what do you want your child to be able to demonstrate in these big emotional times? Do you want them to think before they talk? Do you want them to take a deep breath? Do you want them to take a moment for themselves? And when you get very clear on what you want them to do, and then you try and apply this, you will realize that it's easier said than done. So not only is the question, are my expectations of this child realistic, if I can't even apply these skills for myself, we actually create a space of transparency and connection when we understand how big and how hard these feelings are. And that is the opportunity for us as parents to demonstrate us practicing the skill. Doesn't mean we've mastered it. I don't think we ever get to a point of mastering self-regulation because we are human. And sometimes our emotions get the best of us because we are always on a process in a journey of learning. We only get better. We don't get perfect because it doesn't exist. So when we create the space of transparency and connection, this also in turn creates empathy when our children see us in the process of regulating ourselves before addressing the real problem. By doing this, you are modeling what self-regulation looks like. Because let's face it, if we walk into a problem with our own problems, now we have double problems and no outcome will be effective. So give yourself the permission to address our internal problem first to then address the external problem with our children. This could be as simple as saying a mantra like, I have a good child who's having a hard time, or this is not a personal attack from me, or this moment is temporary, or anything that you feel like that will help you come into the present moment is a great place to start to regulate your nervous system and come back to reality, but also come back to the child in front of you and what they need to get through this moment. No one is asking you to meditate on a mountaintop or dive into a farm of lavender, even though sometimes you feel like you need to take such an extreme measure to calm your nervous system back down. Simply bringing yourself back into the present moment is all it takes to serve your child in the moment. And then in your own time, on your own account, you can revisit your emotional state and you can see what big feelings were coming up for you and see what root cause needs to be addressed so you solve your internal process so your baseline doesn't hit from 0 to 100 so quickly by a child. And here's where we usually get it all wrong. We hardly ever go inside and check in with ourselves and see what the problem is on the inside because we are so quick to blame what's on the outside. Our mind and our emotions work until they don't, and when they don't, we only then see the problem. And this is usually when we are quick to blame the external situation for the problem. And this is just a cycle that goes over and over again until we are ready to address the real problem. And this is a cycle usually that you need a coach like someone myself. And the cycle forever continue that way until you are ready to go inward and break down the processes that you've always run that no longer serve you. And this is usually great to do with a coach like myself or anyone else that can help you through the process. The other theme that came up a lot in the question box on Instagram was how to raise children in a toxic marriage or environment. So I want to start off by saying that toxic is such a very broad term, and that if you or your family are in danger, please get the help you need to be safe. In saying that, I will take the word toxic and just use it to mean not ideal, because what I define as toxic may not be okay with others and vice versa. So no one is right, no one is wrong, but I want to make sure we're using the same words to understand the same thing. What I know to have worked with myself and my clients as well is to start off by knowing what your non-negotiables are. What I mean by this is, what are your values and what you want to instill in your children at any cost and any opportunity you have? By doing this, you have a foundation of knowing what you want instead of focusing on all the things around you that you don't want. Another way to navigate around toxic environments is explaining to your children the power of choice. Helping them understand that people have the ability to make choices in their everyday life, which will result in circumstances and outcomes, is extremely helpful. Empowering them with this understanding will allow your child to distinguish between a good choice and a bad choice, and then recognize them out in the real world. At home, or even when you make a bad choice as a parent, and sometimes this can hurt because, trust me, I have been there, but this is what setting your child up for success and resilience looks like. My final suggestion I have for raising children in a toxic environment is to never underestimate your power in the relationship. Extensive studies show that a child who receives consistent emotional support and guidance profoundly influences a child's development, sets the foundation for healthy relationship, and enhances a child's ability to emotionally regulate. So in saying that, focus on what you are doing for your child and the goodness that you bring into their life and their quality of life. I will always, always, always be the biggest cheerleader for all the mums in the world, because I really do know how hard we work to show up for our children in the best way we know how. I am sending every listener out there so much love, and I hope that you found this last episode of the season to of benefit and value to you. I cannot wait to bring you some really high value, impactful, life-changing content. And until the next time, I hope you do well, and bye for now.